Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live, the Built for Tough studio.
You know, you and I didn't interact much during the vacation. We like it that way because we want to come back fresh and ready to rock and roll and have our own opinions and not have our opinions in any way skewed way or the other, no matter what we're talking about. But I have to ask you.
Yeah.
You had your man's lunch.
I did. I had a man's lunch. Yeah. A man lunch at Teller's, which was amazing.
Of course, what an awesome place. Would they put you in the main dining room?
No, it's the boardroom upstairs, and it is a wonderful steakhouse in Islip.
Wait, they got a boardroom?
It's called the boardroom.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you go up the stairs, and it's the boardroom, and there was 14 of us, and it couldn't have worked out better. The service, amazing. The food, spectacular. Michael Bolson himself, one of the owners of the Bolson Restaurant Group, came in, said hello. He actually is a big Steeler fan, so he had just come back from Pittsburgh. He went to the game, the Chiefs Steelers game.
Yeah.
And he stayed a little bit. And he came in. He's like, I'm fresh off a plane. Things didn't go well for my Steelers, but I wanted to come in and say hi. So, I mean, that place is just aces, always is. And we hope that it's a it's a yearly tradition, and there's no place I'd rather have it than there. It's just
they made that place amazing. Plus, the food is great. I will say this regarding his Steelers. They've lost three in a row. They play Saturday against the Bengals, who have won four in a row. The Bengals' last loss was to the Steelers in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And that was a high-scoring game, if you remember. And it looked like, okay, man, the Steelers were ready to rock and roll after that game. But they lost three out of their next four, including three really tough games. And the Kansas City game, Kansas City is totally locked and loaded right now. Marquise Brown is back. Isaiah Worthy is back. Patrick Mahomes is going to have the week off this week, and he's going to have next week off, and he's going to be ready to rock and roll, hopefully, in divisional round, a home game, and we'll see who they play. And they may end up playing the Chargers again. Two teams that I don't know necessarily that I would want to play in the playoffs at this point. I would think, and we know the good teams. We know the Vikings. We know the Lions. We know Philadelphia Eagles. We know the Chiefs, of course, even the Bills, for that matter. But the other teams, the lower-seeded teams, like the Rams or the Chargers, could they make a run?
The Rams more so than the Chargers.
Okay.
I think. I tell you, Puka Nacua, and the fact that he... Like, you can't stop the guy.
And by the way, they don't have to play this week either. You know, they're either going to get three or four.
I mean, do you see, like, the target share that this guy gets?
Yeah.
It is insane.
Yeah.
Like, he got, like, 20-something targets. The rest, nobody had more than three in the last game that they played. I mean, and you can't stop him.
No, you can't stop
him. I mean, and he's not like Calvin Johnson.
But you can't
stop him. He's not Randy Moss.
You cannot stop Justin Jefferson either. You can't stop Jamar Chase.
Well, right, but...
You can't stop CeeDee Lamb when he's healthy and playing.
Right, but we're talking about...
A.J. Brown.
Right, but every one of those guys that you mentioned,
yeah,
that's what we expected out of them.
Yep.
Puka Nacua was, what, a fourth-round pick, fifth-round pick?
Yeah.
I mean, these, you know, the LSU wide receivers that get picked in the first round, you expect those guys to be... as good as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Can't stop them. I'm talking about Puka Nacua.
See, if a guy like Puka Nacua and T. Higgins, they get screwed because they're not first-round picks. So you think at the end of 4 years, you know, they should, or at the end of 3 years, they should get a new contract, especially if they've proven themselves now, and that contract should be commensurate with the what they've given the teams until they got there. And a lot of these guys end up getting franchise tagged.
Yeah.
You know, for another year or something. Like, people was arguing, not arguing, but just discussing the situation with the Bengals and T. Higgins. I mean, you'd love to keep T. Higgins, but if your quarterback is making $55 million a year, which he should be, if he shouldn't be making more, because maybe he is the best player at the position right now in the NFL and Joe Burrow, and Ja'Marr Chase is going to eclipse Justin Jefferson. That's just the way it works.
Yep.
He has to get more money than Justin Jefferson, and Justin Jefferson is making $38 million a year.
Well, this is the exact reason why Sam Darnold most likely is not going to be on the Vikings next year.
Exactly.
Everything you're saying right now. And it's going to drive me nuts.
You have to have balance.
Right. It's going to drive me nuts. But, I mean, that's what they're going to say. All right, you know, J.J. McCarthy's going to come in. Maybe it'll be as good, if not better, but he's not going to be making any money. And we've proven it with other guys.
Right. And now I read, like, you know, the Bengals have to listen to Joe Burrow, because whatever Joe Burrow wants, Joe Burrow should get. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. You need to have balance. I mean, if Joe Burrow, he's going to score over 30 points pretty much every game, given the way that they're set up right now. But if you told me he was going to score 24 to 27 points a game, but their defense wasn't going to give up as many points a game and take some of the pressure off of the quarterback, that's what these teams have to do. It's called balance.
Yeah.
So you can't, like, so they're going to have Ja'Marr Chase, I'm thinking at around $40 million, and Joe Burrow at $55 million. That's $95 million in two players. I mean, and I'm not saying that they're worth it. Ja'Marr Chase is worth every penny. And Ja'Marr Chase is not taking less than Justin Jefferson. He's just not.
No, of course not.
And for people to think out in Cincinnati that somehow they can keep all three of those guys?
No, T. Higgins has got to go somewhere else. He has to.
That's why, if I were the Giants, put T. Higgins out there with Malik Neighbors.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, now we got something. And maybe, you know, whoever your stopgap quarterback is, no matter what Shador Sanders is wearing on his feet, it's going to be a stopgap quarterback. And you put those two guys out there together, that I'll tell you what, that would get me excited.
I mean, it may be a stopgap quarterback, but there could be other avenues for them to still draft one of those two guys that you don't want them to draft.
Well, whatever. I mean, as long as it's lower than higher, and as long as they're not trading assets away to go get one of those guys. Here's the other thing. And then, if I am the Bengals, in order to replace T. Higgins, I go get Davante Adams. Because Davante Adams wants to win a Super Bowl. He's at the point in his career maybe where he would take less money. Maybe he would take a one-year deal. Maybe it's a one-year deal for $16 million.
Yeah.
You know, you could make that work. And Davante Adams, and we see it, he could still play.
Well, you either do that or you draft somebody. Because, I mean, you're talking about, you know, this is how the Kansas City Chiefs have found a way to keep things churning, is they'll find someone like Worthy out of the draft, or Pacheco to run the ball. Or, you know, they just find these
trade
guys
for Marquise Brown. And
right,
they know
exactly.
The number that they have. But, and they'll be able to spend money on defense, like by paying Chris Jones.
Right. So that's what the Bengals are going to have to do. And speaking of wide receivers, by the way, this Jeremiah Smith of Ohio State was a freshman. Right. He's 19 years old, 6'3", 215 pounds. He shows off like you couldn't believe yesterday against in the Rose Bowl against Oregon. This guy,
number top wide receiver in 2 years.
I mean, the way he is built.
He looks like Davante Adams.
Well, I think he's bigger than that, though.
He may be an inch bigger, but he reminds me of the way Davante Adams looks in a uniform.
I think he's way bigger and more impressive physically than that. Oof. I mean, he is. I mean, he's got Julio Jones's height and DK Metcalf's body.
Okay, that's a good comparison. Yeah,
and he's 19.
Yeah,
and the contested catch that he had for the touchdown, where the defender knocked it out, he still got it.
Well, they were talking about how big his hands were. We're big hands guys.
Yeah, we love hands.
Yeah.
So just, I mean, watch out. That guy is going to be he'll be the highest paid wide receiver in football at some point.
I hope that somehow if T. Higgins does leave Cincinnati, which I would fully expect, it's his job to make as much money for himself as he possibly can. It's not selfish. They have very few bites at the apple. And, you know, he's already been franchise tagged once. It's time for him to go out and get some real money. And what I mean by real money, north of $25 million a year for a guy like that. And I would hope that would be the case for him. And I hope he lands with a really good team. But then if I'm Davante Adams, I go to Cincinnati and I say, look, I'll come and play. I mean, Davante Adams in that offense?
Sure.
With that quarterback?
Yeah. Of course, it should work. I mean, and not being not having to be the number one option.
And the Davante Adams that we see here, that guy can still play. He can still play at a very high level.
I mean, the Jets, by the way, in that game against Buffalo, if you want to talk about a pack it up spot. I mean, even Sauce Gardner said it. He said it after the game. We got some guys checked out. I mean, this is as bad as it gets. This has got to be the worst season in their history, and that's saying a lot.
I did see something on Instagram that I didn't know goes on. I know this never happened way back when in the dark ages when I played, but the Jets come out with their own boombox.
Oh, I mean, they could not be more embarrassing.
And then you got Josh Allen standing there watching this from behind him. I mean, he's just thinking to himself, we're going to kick these guys' ass.
It was so embarrassing.
Yes.
So with the Jets theme boombox, they're playing Gangster's Paradise from Coolio and go out there and get their asses whipped. I mean, you could not be more of an embarrassing franchise.
Right. So, and it's I think it's a foregone conclusion that neither Davante Adams or Aaron Rodgers will be back here next year, no matter who the coach is.
Finally. At least some people have come to their senses on that one. And see you later, Aaron Rodgers. Enough is enough. I mean, it's sad the way it worked out. It was tough. You could not bring this guy back. There's just no way. You can't do it. Now, there'll be people that'll say, well, you're going to find a guy next year that's better than Aaron Rodgers or what he could do. That's not even the question right now. He is more of a symbol than anything. And he came in here and he infected the franchise even worse than they were infected. They tried to be a drug that cured him and ended up being something that made their symptoms worse. And he's got to go. He's got to go. You got to start this whole thing fresh, over with, new GM, new head coach. And we're starting to see some of these things that are coming out. So the Jets were getting crushed publicly because they interviewed Ron Rivera without having a general manager in place, which I can understand why people are criticizing that. I just don't know what they have done as far as GM candidate interviews and how far along they are. But
yeah,
like they can't be. They're not going to hire a head coach before they hire a general manager, are they?
For me personally, I would get moving as quickly as possible. Unless there's somebody that you've identified on some staff out there that you feel like you really, really want to interview. And let's say, because he played here and he was a very popular player, he was a teammate of mine when he was a rookie, his name's Aaron Glenn. So Aaron Glenn is going to get a lot of looks. Everybody's going to want to talk to him. He's highly respected in the league. I don't know if Woody wants to bring back one of his own guys. Who knows? But if they are looking for a former head coach, they got to get their ass in gear. I mean, and one of those guys is going to be Brian Flores. But again, he's only going to have a small window to do some interviews before he gets going. And depending on whether or not they have the one seed or the two seed is going to depend on when he's available for an interview.
It's going to be a one seed or the five seed.
I mean, a one seed or the five seed, right. Meaning that he's playing that first week, wild card weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, if I had to rank the Jet, now, here's the other thorn, or you want to throw a little monkey wrench into this whole thing. So, to me, the most coveted guy out there who has past head coaching experience has got to be Mike Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be the number one guy out there. Number two on that list, for me anyway, is Brian Flores, no matter what happened with him down in Miami and Tua. I don't care. Doesn't matter. By the way, I don't want my quarterback's feelings to be hurt. And I don't really care. If the quarterback's feelings are hurt, then he shouldn't be my quarterback. I need a quarterback that's going to have a spine and that's going to put up with, you know, being coached tough and have a coach that's going to be in your face and expect a lot out of you. So Brian Flores is number two would be on my list of past head coaches that should be interviewed or should get jobs. Just based on the fact that they've already done it before and they know what they're running themselves into. And that's why I said, let's say you're New Orleans and you want a new quarterback and coach tandem. Why wouldn't you go after Brian Flores and Sam Darnold together?
Yeah. No, I mentioned before you could do a heck of a lot worse.
All right, here's the monkey wrench.
Yeah.
We don't know what the Patriots are doing with Gerard Mayo. If Gerard Mayo is fired, the number one candidate for the Patriots will be Mike Vrabel.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
And I've already seen that.
And if you are Mike Vrabel,
yeah.
Would you rather work for? A team that has a rising quarterback in Drake May and an ownership that loves you, puts you in their Hall of Fame when you were the Titans head coach.
Right.
And you sat in his box and you watched the game. Wouldn't you, if you were Bob Kraft, want Mike Vrabel as your next head coach? If, in fact, you think that Gerard Mayo's in over his head.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, I also...
And if you're Mike Vrabel, which job would you want?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously. Over what? The New Orleans or the Jets or, I mean, anything. The Bears. I mean, I would take the Patriots job in a heartbeat.
If you're Vrabel.
Yeah. I think most of them. I mean, the Bears situation and the way that they look at their owner, too,
Ben Johnson all over it.
Yeah. They're getting a little too cute out there, man, with their stuff. I'm getting tired of them.
I know you are. You got a bias there.
Everybody with the tongue bath, with the Ben Johnson stuff and the hook and ladder, like we'd never seen that before. The hook and ladder. Everybody did that when they were a kid.
I did it.
Yeah. Yeah, right. You did it when you played.
And by the way, that's
like if people saw it.
And by the way, that fall down fake thing.
Yeah.
Did that too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but Ben Johnson's, I mean, this guy's a genius. No one's doing this type of stuff.
People don't remember those things.
Yeah, no one's doing this type of stuff. Stop.
Yeah, but I give Ben Johnson credit. His team is flawless on offense, man. They're great. Yeah,
flawless. Okay.
I give Kevin O'Connell the same. He's right there on par with Kevin O'Connell.
All right.
But I just don't think that he's got a New York personality.
Who, Ben Johnson?
Yes.
Yeah, no. Plus, he would never come. A guy that coveted, come to the Jets.
That's why the Bears or the Jacksonville Jaguars, if they decide to move on from Doug Peterson, makes the most sense for him. And I think if I'm the Cowboys, I got to give Mike McCarthy a 3-year contract extension.
Oh! Yeah. All right. That'd be fun. 3-year contract extension. People would call him for his head 6 games into next year.
Yeah, but who do you want them to hire? Like
Deion Sanders.
No way. It's not happening.
That's what I want. You asked me who I want him to hire.
I know, but it's not going to. Why? Because.
Because it'd be great.
Yeah, I just don't think Jerry Jones wants somebody as a bigger personality. Because Jerry wants to be the one talking after the games.
I mean, he hired Parcells. He was a bigger personality.
Yeah, but that didn't last very long.
But he still did it.
Yeah, but then he went to Jason Garrett.
Sure.
And then he went to Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
And both of those guys had to basically line up and just realize that Jerry's giving the comments after the games.
But Wade Phillips in there too, right?
Well, another guy that, you know, had gone through that organization that was not going to ruffle any feathers, and they were going to let Jerry be Jerry, the face of the Cowboys.
By the way, the Vikings offensive coordinator is Wes Phillips, who is Wade's son.
Who's the quarterback coach?
Josh McCown.
Right.
So those two
I think
guys.
Josh McCown's ready to start calling plays. Let's
you
go.
Think so?
Bring him, Sam Darnold, and Brian Flores to a team.
You raid my team, man, before the season's over. Let the season end first?
Seems pretty simple to me.
All right, but we're in Geo.
But not for the Jets. That trio, not for the Jets. Maybe Brian Flores for the Jets.
Who is for the Jets?
We've said it. Vrabel, Flores, Gruden.
All right.
And you know.
Well, just said that Flores and the Darnold thing and everything.
Yeah,
else.
but not again. Everything is variables. So if you told me Flores, Darnold to New Orleans, I could see that.
But you
with Josh McCown, I could see that threesome going down because there are really good offensive players there. And taking that Minnesota Kevin O'Connell, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan offense and taking it down to New Orleans along with Brian Flores' defense, I could see that.
Do you think there's any chance? Because every year there's something that's shocking happens. Think there's any chance that this thing in San Francisco is dried up and Kyle Shanahan wants to go somewhere else and an owner does something crazy and trades for him or something like that?
I don't see that. I mean, I don't.
They did, and the reason I think about that is what they did back in the day with Jim Harbaugh and Jim Tom Sula and things were going well and they did something crazy.
I mean, they had so many injuries this year.
They got so many injuries every year.
Yeah, but no, this year in particular, you know, they lost Nick Bosa for quite some time. They obviously lost Christian McCaffrey.
It was a couple years ago.
Brandon Ayuk is gone. I mean, they lost a lot of really top players.
No, I know. But a few years ago, same thing happened. Remember when they lost all those guys at MetLife Stadium?
Problem they're going to have now is that they have to pay Brock Purdy. And the question is, how much?
How much?
He's already given you 2 years of at least a $50 million performance, and he was playing for nothing.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So Jerry Recco, who is in Indiana and is not with us today, that's where we got CeeLo, has called in, and I don't know why. I just got this information from Boomer that he wanted to chime in on something.
Yeah, I've known. He's been here for like 10 days without us, chiming in on everything.
Yeah, so I was thinking there's nothing I said he could be mad at, I don't think.
I mean, he and I are in lockstep about, you know,
firing people around here.
Getting rid of people out of here. And paying other people more money so they can be more incentivized to do a better job.
Jerry, good morning, man. I miss you.
What's up, guys? Yeah, I'm sorry I'm not there, and I'm not mad. There's no sense of madness at all in my voice. I hadn't seen you guys, and I actually thought if you just give me a minute, I've got a couple of things I probably should have called with at 5:55 before you went in.
Okay.
But it just hit me. And it should have been before Boomer went in. I left a box there, guys. I don't want anybody to trip over it, but my bad. I'm sorry about that. Also, Boomer, I sat in your seat. The screen, I kind of had it turned and twisted before you got in there, so my bad. I'm sorry. I farted in your chair several times over the last couple of weeks. My bad. And Rangers, they suck. That's your bad. But you guys, happy New Year. You guys have a great day, and I'll see you Monday.
All right, Jerry. Thanks, man. Boomer?
What? All right, Jerry, have a good call tonight, brother.
Bye,
you did a
guys.
Good job, by the way. You guys were pretty good. You and Willie were great together, and so were you and CeeLo.
I appreciate that, Booms. Willie's awesome. CeeLo's great. Very versatile, that's CeeLo. So, yes, we had a good time. Thank you very much.
When you were picking on Pat Boyle, the update guy, I couldn't believe two update guys were just hammering the update guy. It was
unbelievable.
Yes.
Here's why. You love accountability, Boomer, and I will tell you this. When I show up at 4 o'clock for a show and the last person in shows up about 10 minutes before the show starts, he's going to get hammered.
By the way, we got to update the Jerry Recco picture here. That is like Jerry at 28 years old here, that they have up on the screen. Jerry Recco.
You got to find the more current old fat one.
I mean, that is incredible.
Hopefully,
I mean,
you're wearing
like
one.
Matthew there.
Right. Hopefully you're wearing one of your new shirts tonight.
I will be, as a matter of fact. Right, no, I won't be. No, I won't be.
You're not wearing that yellow thing, are you?
I am not wearing the yellow thing. Okay, no, good. I have a beautiful new Rutgers shirt they sent me. So the road games, we're not courtside. We go a little more casual.
Jerry, how'd the flight go? How bad was the wind? I know you were a little concerned yesterday.
I got to tell you, I do not understand air travel at all. 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts, and we took off like it was a calm, still 72-degree day with literally zero turbulence, which makes no sense.
Well,
to me.
It depends where the wind is coming. If it's a crosswind, it's going to screw you up. If it's from behind you or in front of you, you're okay.
Well, you're taking off into the wind.
Well, yeah, right. So that's why.
They figured it out, and it was easy. And I will tell you, I was scanning for orbs and drones like crazy the entire flight, because we took off, it was already dusk, and I didn't see anything. I saw one that looked on, so that could have been an alien.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm still looking. I mean, it's the first time I've been in a plane since all this started, so I had a nice window seat, and I was looking the entire time.
Now, Al would tell you they were all busy hanging out over the Atlantic Ocean, which you were not near, so that was part of the problem.
That is very true. That was, but the flight was very good, and here we are in the games tonight at 8:30.
All right, Jerry, very good. We'll see you soon.
Bye, guys.
All right, it's Jerry Recco.
Jerry sucks.
I don't know if this has gotten into your algorithm there, Al, but the fact that Bethany Frankel, one of the housewives, has hijacked the drone orb conversation drives me crazy.
I only saw it the one time a few weeks ago, I guess when it had first, or when she first commented about it.
It's every single day. I'm going to have to block her account. She's ruined it for me.
Oh, yeah. I don't see anything by her.
Yeah. It's really ruined. Now I'm getting angry. Now I'm like on the other side and wanting to fight against her. And now she's moved on to this chemical fog. Are you on to that?
Oh, yeah. That's the fog, which is all over multiple places. Of course, not on the news anywhere, but yes, lots of places.
The chemical fog.
Yeah.
Chemical I don't know fog. If I'm buying that one because people, I don't know, because they're just like, you shine the light if you look at it. I'm like, well, that's what fog looks like when you shine a light on it.
Well, they also had like this woman in Florida whose pool has all this hard white material. that looks like a glacier that's just some sort of material that's in her pool. Mm. These things showing up in people's dog bowls. A lot going on with the fog, CeeLo.
Chemical fog.
My favorite part of this morning, though, he's ripping, you know, TV media for being behind, and everything's on X. It's on Twitter. If you're not following along on Twitter, you're way behind. And then, like, in the next breath, he admits, yeah, I had TV on all day yesterday tracking the New Orleans coverage.
Well, I was. I had Twitter and the news.
But he was watching the news to see how far behind they
were. Yeah, like with a critical eye.
He wasn't getting his news from it. He was watching it to see how much
they sucked. Laughing and mocking them.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, CeeLo, what do we got over
there? Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. A little Mike Breen montage for you from the latest Knicks win last night over the visiting Jazz, including Boomer's guy Precious here in the first clip.
Kicks it out in the corner. Achiuwa hits a three. He has just done a little bit of everything. Towns drives and finishes. Worth a 40. George putting good pressure on Hart. Hart to the basket and the flush.
There you go, Breen on MSG.
Now Breen sounds like such a front runner.
Oh, come on. This guy's been there forever.
I know. He's been hit over the head with the idiot stick for 25 years. I understand.
Knicks party at the Garden as they win 119-103 atop Utah. That's 9 in a row now. And got this one done without Jalen Brunson or Deuce McBride. Karl Anthony Towns, 31 points, 21 rebounds. Josh Hart, 15 points, 14 boards, 12 assists. That's back-to-back triple-doubles for him. The first Knick to do that since Michael Ray Richardson back in 1981. So that's been a while.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, same here. Knicks are up to 24-10. They found their rhythm pretty quickly, even with two big changes to their starting five this season. Here's Towns on what he's learned about his new team.
We're gritty, man. I think that we do a great job of finding ways to win, even when we're not at our best. And obviously, you know, we're adjusting. We're getting more and more acclimated with each other. But you hope to learn those lessons through wins than in defeats.
We mentioned Brunson and McBride being out. That meant Campaign was inserted into the starting lineup. Literally at the very last second.
Right before they called the lineups, halfway thought they weren't going to call my name. I thought he was going to call Deuce, and I was going to have to run out there, honestly. That's how close it was.
All good, though, for the Knicks heading into tomorrow night's road showdown with the 27-5 Oklahoma City Thunder. Here's Hart having some fun looking ahead to a matchup with their pal, former teammate Isaiah Hartenstein.
The big man got paid this summer, so he should be a little slow on his feet and slow trying to protect the rim. So, we should be able to, you know, go at him.
That should be a fun one to watch coming up tomorrow night. Knicks' schedule's going to get a little tougher now. Yeah. You give them credit, they're winning these games against lesser teams. A lot on the road, though. Like, they played home last night, but they just come off a road trip. Now they go back on the road for a couple.
Just struggled with the Wizards the other night, though.
Yes. Yeah, you know what? Just keep winning. And
the first Wizards game. Yeah.
This is the best offensive team the Knicks have ever had.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, so their defense has got to tighten up for sure. But when they are running and gunning, man, we got three-point shooters. We got inside shooters. We got rim protectors. When Mitchell Robinson comes back, I mean, this team is loaded right now.
Yeah.
Spoiled.
It's a good time for half the fan base not be able to watch the games.
Just get Fubo.
Fubo.
Fubo's good. I just wish they would have kept us in Wise.
The problem is that Fubo, you can't get Max. So then you can't get TNT.
There's always something you can't get. Yeah, right.
I mean, it's just one thing after the next. And that's why I was being sarcastic when I said, just get the Gotham app. You know, because they want you to spend money on that.
Of course they do. Everyone's looking to make a buck, right, Boomer? You know what that's about.
Between the cable companies and the RSNs, those businesses are going the other way. And they're all trying to figure out how to make their money back or make even more money.
Sure. Nets lost to the Raptors in Toronto 130-113. They'll turn around and play the Bucks out of Milwaukee. We got coverage on the Fan at 7:50. College football playoff quarterfinal action yesterday. Texas outlasting Arizona State. Double overtime at the Peach Bowl.
Now Scadaboo shifts to the left side of the quarterback, Sam Levitt, on third down. Play action. Levitt looks. Fires for the end zone. It's intercepted! Picked off! Intercepted! Andrew Bakuba! This ball game is over! Texas is going to the Final Four!
Man, Arizona State had a chance to win this game, and they had a fourth down, Texas did.
Fourth and 13. Right?
Right, and they decided to blitz Arizona State, and Quinn Ewer stood in there, and give him credit. You know, I think he should stay in college, should not come out, because he's not going to be a first-round draft pick, but he made the throw on fourth down that led to the game-tying kick, and then ultimately the next play, he threw another touchdown, and they had to go for two, made the two, and then got the interception.
Man, I tell you, Steve Sarkisian's got a little Bill Belichick in him, because his facial reaction after that touchdown pass on fourth and 13 was just stoic. Like, he just completely stoic and just put the one up in the air. You know, like, it was just like, hey, here we go. I'd never seen, coaches these days are generally more fired up than they were 20 years ago, but Sarkisian was like, nope, still got work to do, let's go.
I'll tell you what, Penn State just bottled up that Genty kid.
Yeah.
I mean, he got his yards, it was
30 carries for about 100 yards.
Yeah, but that kid kept running hard.
Oh, yeah.
He was running hard all the way into the fourth quarter. But Penn State, Ohio State, Texas, all three got great defenses.
Longhorns Radio Network with the highlight there as that interception sealed a 39-31 victory over the Sun Devils, who certainly hung in there. Ohio State went out, handled top seed Oregon in the Rose Bowl, 41-21. You guys were talking about freshman Jeremiah Smith, 7 catches for 187 yards, 2 scores, including a 45-yard catch and run 1 minute into the game. So to be the Buckeyes and Longhorns in the one semifinal, the Cotton Bowl, that's a week from tomorrow night. Did either of you guys catch the one-on-one this week with Oregon QB Dylan Gabriel?
Yeah, very strange.
Yeah,
I mean, it was high. It was even more strange and weird when they were down 70-0 at halftime, and then that was being circled. Spread against again on the internet.
Yeah.
It's something about sunshine. And
we'll need more sun. Got to find more grass, but play indoors. Well, he was all over the map.
Yeah.
It started with what do you have to do to win? We got to be at our best. And then he launched into like 17 other things.
He looks exactly like Zach Wilson in the helmet, his face.
That kid has played the most amount of games in the history of a quarterback and has had the most yards. And you could say just by longevity, the greatest amount of play. I think 63 games I think he's played in.
It's a lot.
You know what, though? Compiler.
Okay, you and your compilers.
Penn State awaiting their next opponent as the Sugar Bowl between Georgia and Notre Dame was postponed to today at 4 o'clock due to the attack on Bourbon Street New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, which did unfortunately kill 15 people and injure dozens more. Giants-Eagles Sunday in Philadelphia wrapping up the regular season. Nick Sirianni laying out his team's approach for that one yesterday.
We're going to rest some guys. We're locked into that number 2 seed, so we're gonna rest some guys. There are going to be some guys that are resting.
Just to be clear, they'll be resting some guys.
Are you resting?
Saquon Barkley. So Eric Dickerson's single-season rushing record will stand.
My reaction was kind of like I told my family. Obviously, my family, probably wanted a little bit more than me. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is winning football games and winning the playoffs. So
All right.
I got a bigger goal in mind.
Here's a question for you guys. Does this make Saquon Barkley a gold jacket guy?
Is he a Hall of Famer after this season that he's had? Is what
season
you're saying?
Alone? No.
I mean, if you would have broken the record, 17 games, as opposed to 16 or 14. I mean, he did get over 2,000 yards, and we've seen this is gold jacket performance type stuff.
Is Chris Johnson?
The one season?
The reason I'm saying that
is Chris Johnson in the Hall of Fame?
No, he's not. But okay. The reason I was going to say this is because this is what Dave Gettleman thought he was getting.
Oh, yeah.
When he drafted him, the problem is he didn't have the offensive line nor the quarterback to get the most out of Saquon Barkley.
I think he'd need another couple of maybe not record-breaking seasons, but a couple of really strong ones for the Eagles.
I think he's got to have like a 10-year career.
Yeah.
Like solid 10-year career where he's over 1,000 yards for most of his career, and maybe he has another one like this next year with a good Eagles offense. So, I don't know. This is the performance that Dave Gettleman drafted.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Well, hoping the Eagles go on a Super Bowl run would certainly help that Hall of Fame resume. So we'll see what happens once they indeed get their playoff action going. On the other side, Giants kind of, playing out the string, which we already included last weekend's win over the Colts, moving them out of that first overall pick in the draft order. Boomer, you referenced this answer and comment from Brian Daboll post-game Sunday, maybe a little subtle but telling as well.
A lot of guys played well. That's how the offense needs to perform. That's how the quarterback needs to perform. So when you do that, you win the turnover ratio, you have a chance to score points and win.
And there's the formula. So liked what he saw.
I think he also said something else about the court when you get good quarterback play.
Oh.
Or something along those lines.
So
I heard it, I was like, that's a shot across somebody's bow.
Yeah, well, yesterday Daboll was back to offering very little with the media, even with questions about his job status persisting, and here he was asked about John Mara.
John mentioned at the league meetings at one point about that when he evaluates you guys, he evaluates you separately. How do you sort of view that?
you'd have to ask John.
There was a lot of one-word quick responses, so that was about the Dable-Shane dynamic. Then you've got Aaron Rodgers perhaps playing his final game for the Jets, maybe even the final game of his career.
You know, I won't be thinking about that come game day. I'll just be enjoying this. I'm trying to stay in the moment, but, of course, it's been a long career. I'm really proud of what I've been able to be a part of, what I've been able to accomplish, and also looking forward to a nice mental and physical rest.
So we made a lot of his week, what would it be, 15 and 16 performances, looking a lot better, healthier, a couple of Florida games. Not so much in Buffalo this past week. So I think we can put that to bed.
Close the book.
I have something for you next hour. I'm going to play a Rodgers clip and a Jeff Ulbrich clip because I'm out of time. And you can tell me which guy is lying through his teeth more. And we'll get your thoughts on that. You do have the Rangers tonight at home against the Bruins. The Islanders, the Maple Leafs will wrap up a home and home. And the Devils were shut out in L.A. by the Kings last night, 3-0.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. On this first day that we're back in 2025, January 2nd, and I always say that if things are going okay in your life, January 2nd is the worst day of the year. It just is in the Northeast. Generally, people are going back. The weather stinks. You got a long way to go until the weather gets better. You got a long way to go till you get your next vacation. Generally, the worst day of the year, that January 2nd.
We got a polar vortex on its way.
Oh, really?
Al, did you bring that up this morning?
No, I ran out of time.
You ran out of time, but you would have gotten to that sooner or later.
Yeah, because the one day the news was the fog Gio was talking about, and it was like either fog, polar vortex is going to freeze everybody out, back to the fog, back to the drones, back to the polar vortex. Like, that was my whole feed was just like all this stuff.
When is this polar vortex coming?
This weekend, I think, and then we'll really
this weekend?
Grab hold the next week.
Yeah, I'm with you, though, G. I went immediately to my weather app, and the coldest it was going to get is in like 25 degrees or something.
Yeah,
it seems so cold, bad. That's not polar vortex.
That's no polar vortex.
He played golf on New Year's Eve.
I did. It was 50 degrees. It was awesome. Yeah, we got a little bit of snow showers on Monday, but nothing crazy.
The polar vortex looks like the virus that is... the stomach virus.
What's norovirus?
The norovirus.
Yeah, my mom got that.
That's the color of the polar vortex.
My poor mom got the norovirus.
She did.
Just completely knocked her out.
Listen, Purell does not kill the norovirus. What kills the norovirus is soap and water. Just so you know that.
Okay.
So wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
But there it is. There's the polar vortex.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like it's going to hit other areas worse than us, right?
No. See this purple thing right here?
Yeah.
It's coming.
Wash your hands.
Come on, you jackass.
What do you mean,
wash your hands?
Why am I a jackass?
Because you're playing it down.
Wash your hands.
I'm playing it down because I'm looking at the weather app and it doesn't look that bad. You know, high's 35.
Wash your hands.
I was watching my boys on Fox News Weather, man. They were telling
me. Wash your hands.
I was so excited that there was a polar vortex coming.
All right.
Wash your filthy hands.
Let's go to Dom, who's down in Florida. He doesn't have to worry about that vortex. What's going on, Dom? Dom!
I just told this guy we were going to him.
I know. This is unbelievable because I wanted to talk to this guy because he had a funny story.
Well, he's still there.
And I know he's still technically there. Maybe he's on, like, maybe he muted his phone or something.
Maybe you want to put him on hold?
No. I'll just let him just be here.
He might just come back, like, whatever the delay is, all of a sudden he'll run
into the room. Hey, I'm here. And he said that he used to go to your nightclub back in the day.
Back in the day, baby, La Boom.
La Boom.
At the waterfront, on the riverfront in Kentucky, on the Kentucky side of the Ohio River.
Oh, yeah! Did you make a lot of money doing that?
Not really.
Did you lose money?
No. Jeff Ruby made the money.
Oh, he did, okay.
Yes.
All right.
And he's still making the money.
It's not.
Well, that place, no, because if you remember, that place was built on a barge, and it came loose of its moorings and was floating down the Ohio River. That was the night that Chris Collinsworth had to get off first.
Oh, my God.
You remember? You don't remember that story?
You told me, yes. It was great. Yeah. Well, La Boom.
La Boom.
So is
don't
it
you remember when we went out to dinner with the man dinner we had?
Yeah, the man
with John
dinner.
Franco and Al Leiter.
Yeah, and Jason Marquis.
Yeah, but those guys my age.
Yeah.
Definitely spent a lot of time at LaBoom.
Oh, they certainly did.
And John Franco lived out in Cincinnati because he played for the Reds for a number of years.
That is correct, yeah.
So he was a frequent visitor.
John Franco's somewhere exotic right now. And I saw it. I was like, geez, this guy gets around.
Let's go rob his house.
Oh, my God. You're the worst.
Why? Because that's what everybody's doing these days.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just, I understand. All right, I can't. His Instagram story's gone, but he is everywhere. Do not go rob his house. I don't even know where he doesn't have a home.
But by the way, the FBI has been telling professional athletes and professional sports leagues, you know, your social media is being scoured. So if you are away somewhere and you're all over social media, meaning you're not home, guess what? Your house is going to be a target.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and also there's a schedule that people know when these guys are gone and not gone and everything else.
But yeah, but you don't, you know, in the off season, you don't need to be putting everything on social media.
True, but a lot of stuff's happening in season when these guys are on the road.
A Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, and they're away from home.
Dom is in Florida again. What's going on, Dom?
Good morning, guys. I got a question.
Yeah.
Let's go back to J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold.
Hold on a second. Dom, you said you used to go to Boomer's nightclub back in the day, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
All right, what do you want to talk about?
Well, this is what you said. I mean, you called up to talk about it. I was interested in that, in your memories, and that's why Al put you through, and we wanted to go to that and hear those
Boomers,
things.
We used to go out there almost every night when I was out there for business. Great music, drinks, people, women.
There you go.
It was just a good time.
Yeah, and the food was great.
Yeah, everything was great.
Everything was great. It was a top-notch place, man. It was about as good as it gets, right, Dom?
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, when I finally went back after a while and it was closed, couldn't believe it. I says, why would they close a place like this down?
Well, because the Ohio River got too powerful one night and it came off its moorings. As a matter of fact, we had an outdoor area that was called Las Brisas.
Okay.
So in the summertime, you'd be outside and you'd be looking up to the city of Cincinnati. It was great.
Yeah, it was.
A lot of Jimmy Buffett fans out there. Used to have a Jimmy Buffett cover band in there and everything. It was great.
But like all good things.
Yeah. Comes to an end.
Yeah, all right. Now, what do you want to say about Sam Darnold?
What do I want to say about Sam Darnold? First of all, the guy's going to want a multi-year, zillion-dollar contract like every other quarterback.
Well, why not? Let me ask you a question, Dom, if you were a quarterback and you had his performance this year and you have your team, you know, rolling on offense and you have a chance to get the number one seed in the NFC, wouldn't you want a payday?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And what I'm saying is Minnesota willing to give him a long-term contract?
No.
And forget J.J. McCarthy?
No. We don't. Both G and I don't believe that. It would be better for Sam if he could stay with Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota, but, I mean, somebody's going to give him a big number. I don't think they're going to put the franchise tag on him. That number's way too big for them to handle.
I don't think so either. I mean, listen,
Now, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
He wins this Sunday night in Detroit, mm-hmm. and they get the number one seed in the NFL.
That's when I start getting nervous.
I will say this. He's a fringe candidate, but he is in the MVP conversation.
Yeah.
He's probably number four. I would say, you know, it's Lamar and Josh, it's Joe Burrow, and it's Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And even though Saquon went over 2,000 yards, I think that's kind of dissipated a little bit because these other four guys have put together incredible seasons for their respective teams. Plus, they play the most important position.
That's right.
But if Sam Darnold leads the Vikings to the number one seed, let's say he throws five touchdowns against this beat-up Detroit defense,
mm-hmm.
which is getting some of their players back, by the way.
Yeah.
But let's say he throws for five touchdowns on Sunday night and they get the number one seed. Where is he in your thought process about number one being brought back and number two, does that elevate his MVP status to the point where, let's say he throws for 4,500 yards, 40 touchdowns. He completes 70% of his passes. I mean, how is that not MVP worthy?
Well, it is MVP worthy, but those other two guys have just as good of numbers, and they also have rushing numbers as well, have scored more touchdowns. So, I mean, he's going to be third in that list, but he should be getting more consideration. As far as keeping him, I mean, I already said I would keep him. I mean, you spend your entire life wanting a guy to play like this at his age. You got him.
He's young.
And they're going to end up letting him go because they think that they can get the same or better or maybe a little bit worse, but still be able to get by with a rookie that they drafted on a rookie quarterback salary. So, you know, that's what I think they're going to do. Now, if he ends up, you know, going all the way.
Yes.
I don't know how you could possibly let him go.
Our friends at SpotTrack, who cover all the contracts for all the leagues, and they generally are spot on when it comes to predicting what they believe somebody is worth on the open market.
Yeah.
The open market number for Sam Darnold right now, and this is not me, this is SpotTrack, 4 years, $229 million.
Wow. That is a lot of wood. Yeah, I don't think they're going to do it.
That's wood, all right.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do it because I think that, you know, they've got guys that they've got to pay, you know, and one of them they already did, and Justin Jefferson, highest paid wide receiver right now.